All right, so we're back. I'm going to actually pick up, Krithika, with a question we had on chat, and I think it's going to be a pretty common question is, you know, Visual Studio Online, Team Foundation server running out in Azure and the integration with that here with release management. So I've got an article up, a recent article. I just want to go ahead and pull it in my browser. And we have a new, an update to RC. It ships with an updated release command line tool that's going to make this the ability to trigger releases from any CI system that you want easier, okay? So the current story, you're going to, first of all, keep an eye on the space. It's going to evolve. We have a very good story coming continuously with VSO. So you imagine more and more integration with release management. But right now there are some things you can do, I'll call them kind of pseudo workarounds, to release from artifacts that you create in VSO. Keep in mind that, okay, there's not like a checkbox out in VSO currently where I go check and I'm like using it like almost like not like load testing as a service, which we do today. But if you think about it, you're gonna create payload from VSO from your work out there. And if you can get that payload someplace where, as long as your build server, for example, was on-prem, then you can get release management to grab that payload and do the releases for you.
Right.
So that's really, I just want to address that. It's definitely a story that we're improving. And again, all the natural integration, if you're saying, where is it? It's not there today, but it's coming. And this is a blog post that I want to do the point out as well. So check this out as you get time. So with that being said, I'm going to go back to PowerPoint for Module 3. Again, we won't have a lot of PowerPoint to show you today. We'll be back in demo with Krithika here shortly. But there is some vocabulary and some other things that we want to establish here. So release pipelines is what this is really all about. I mean, once we do an implementation or an installation of the various bits and you get everything talking with Team Foundation Server, for example, you're going to want to eventually build some release pipelines. And release pipelines are really the path through that your application travels to production. And you may have more or less automation. You have maybe have more or less security, different approval workflows, different ways that you maybe manually want to intervene or not as part of that pipeline. You protect some environments more than others, all this kind of stuff. We'll look at that as we go through the demos kind of naturally here. But for the overview here, we're going to define the release path, the approval workflows that are possible here with the tool, make some really interesting scenarios there. And then a couple of vocabulary words that I want to talk about with release template and release. And I know Krithika will be creating us a release template here soon. So when I define the release path itself, this is just a screenshot of that, and we have the a classic dev QA prod environment in this horizontal fashion here. Don't worry or confused about the three of them. There could be one, there could be two, there could be seven.
You could have seven staging environments.
Yeah, there could be different environments depending on what your, it's the path your app needs to travel in your world. And there's lots of factors that come into play on how many environments you might have in your particular world. There's security along the way. A couple things I want to point out here. These stages, you can have them more or less secure if you need to. I mean, in some cases, we see customers where, again, there's 8 or 10 people working with this thing and everybody kind of has access to everything. And other customers we see where there's a QA team and they're really in charge of the QA stage and nobody else is going to approve a deployment for them. It's going to go there through that part of the pipeline via their their process, they're going to have control. There's different environments that I know you'll be talking about this vocabulary word of an environment, which will be composed of different servers. Yep. Could be one or many servers involved here at that point. It could be just a web server. It might be a web and a data server. It could be a load balanced web farm, right? Just depends on how much is there. And then we have various steps involved in the pipeline and that are going to be, again, more or less automated. Maybe I just want to, when a build kicks off, for example, I just want it to run all the way automated, or if I press a button and release the release manager client to issue a release, I'm just going to be on autopilot and just run all the way through the system until it runs into problems, or if it did. Or maybe I want to stop it right before prod and make somebody approve it. Mm-hmm. So we'll look at some of this kind of stuff. So again, you'll see this naturally through the demos. A couple other things, security at the release path level. Keep in mind that there's security really everywhere here. Inside the tool. The release paths, again, you may have everyone be able to view them, but not edit and manage security. You showed us where everyone kind of has everything by default. And maybe it's the ops team that really can manage and work with the release path in terms of manage other people's security there and this kind of thing. So there's lots of scenarios, depending on what you're doing, that would drive this in one form or fashion. Or cause you to actually implement security or not. And then the approval workflows themselves. So this is where things get really interesting to me, because I worked as a long time as a web developer, where I was doing some deployments, and I always wanted the ability to have my project managers or the business analysts that were involved, the stakeholders, deploy on into other environments. I was in charge of getting things into dev and test, and then I don't want to be involved when it goes on into the staging environments where somebody's going to sign off for production.
Yeah, the nice thing I like about release management is you don't have to learn a new tool. You don't have to install anything to even make that happen.
Yeah, they just jump in a browser, and then they can do an approval confirmation.
Right.
And what's nice about this is they can go ahead and do it right now. So I'll approve it and then have it immediately deploy. Or you notice this deferred deployment at the bottom, which is what I would do. I would defer that till I was headed out for the weekend or go on vacation.
I
don't want to be bothered, right? Like, so let that thing get approved after I'm gone, because if something goes wrong, then I have to work on it, right? So, no, I'm kidding. But anyway, you have some flexibility here, and you notice that you can put some data in here too, and it's going to show up in the system as well. So, providing that nice visibility for what went on. And what I love about all this is you can go back and look back in time and see what happened and what people did. And we'll look at some of those transactions as we go here. And then finally, a couple vocabulary words that are super important as we use the tool: release template and release. So the release template itself is simply a blueprint. It's the workflow that you're going to create to do the deployment. So it describes what your release is for your particular software. A release template basically is something that you're going to build an orchestration. It could be very simple. It could be moderately complex. It could be super complex based on your need. We'll kind of build on one today. We'll start real simple and small, and then we'll kind of build that out into something that may include, like, rollback, for example, if things go wrong. Maybe you want manual intervention if something, you know, is part of one of your steps. You might want to do things like delete things, create websites, configure application pool identities and auto start and deploy SQL, all these different kinds of things you define in a template, and you point at the various stages of your pipeline, or you leverage them in your template, and you have one or more templates that support your application to do releases into various environments.
Yep.
And then we have something called a release, a real release, and that's really where the rubber starts to meet the road for us here. It's the concrete transaction or example that we do off of a release template. So for you developers out there, you've got your classes, your templates, your release templates, and then you've got your objects here that you create that actually live, right, from those templates. And that's what our releases are. And what I love about this is I did releases yesterday, today, 3 weeks ago. I can go back and look at those transactions, and I can see what those environments look like. I can see what values I was plugging in at that time when I did my release, what I was deploying. So I got that nice auditability. Now imagine trying to do that with some customized build process that you had. You might be digging through build logs or be looking for things, but this provides us that kind of out of the box, which is really, really nice. So, quick example of what a release template looks like here. Karthika, you're going to give us good demos here anyway. But you just notice on the left-hand side, if you're very familiar with Windows workflow, this is going to be natural to you. You've got some stuff out of the box that we can use, and you just kind of drag and drop this stuff on a form. We'll build something simple to moderately complex today by the time we're done. And you just kind of orchestrate what you need to do. It could just be copy into an IIS directory, and that's all you need to do.
Yeah, you see on the left pane, you have a bunch of actions and tools available already. If you can zoom on the...
Well, yeah, I'm on the PowerPoint, but let me see if I can do that.
You should.
Nope.
All right.
Okay, so I don't have zoom
in. So we'll take a look at it in the
demo. Yeah, we'll zoom in on the demo. But yeah, we've got plenty of stuff that's out of the box here, like on the left-hand side, that you can do. If you're already familiar again with workflow, things like parallel. Maybe I can do some things for my release in a parallel way. Some things I have to do in a certain sequence. Again, rollback we'll talk about if I want to manually intervene. And there's built-in stuff. Like if you need to create a registry key, it's here for you. If you need to copy a file or a folder, it's here for you out of the box. You don't invent that. You use that action onto your workflow.
But nothing is stopping me from creating custom tools and actions either.
Yeah, you could create custom stuff, add it in here and into your toolbox, and then use that as well on your workflow designer. And again, you'll build these workflows for like the dev environment, the QA environment, your pre-prod, prod, as many environments as you have. You may have different, they may be similar workflows, but have a little bit different nuances between them. For example, maybe I don't care much about rollback in like the development environment. In fact, I'll just like not even put the time or work in to have a rollback strategy. I'll just say, hey, if it doesn't work, I'm going to roll forward. I'm just going to redeploy the fix. It may be a couple hours, but I don't really care. But that's not really suitable for production, is it? You need the ability to quickly get back or quickly rollback. So in that case, what we'll do is we'll have a more basically glorified template for prod, where we'll be able to have nice logic built in to handle scenarios that commonly occur. I mean, you won't want to go so far, and you know, you can't protect yourself from every single scenario could go wrong, but get close, have appropriate rollback strategies in place, and rollback could just be copy old what was just there a minute ago, copy that back into the IIS directory, and now we're back to where we were, and then fix the problems and deal with them, because we can't necessarily require roll-forward strategies all the time in prod. So with that, we'll point out a couple more things here. Just like many things, we have release templates where we have some security built in, and again, this is all customizable, Krithika. You show us some of that. And then this is some of that visibility stuff I talked about. We're a little bit of a traffic cop kind of thing, you know. We can hover over some of this stuff as we look at the demos as well and see it as we kind of build it out. But the point is you get some visibility on what's going on kind of all up. We can drill into our releases very low,
right,
historically or real time, and see what's happening. I know we'll be looking at things as they go wrong with the logging and all of that.
Exactly. There's login available, and you can view logs and stuff like that.
Yep. Okay. And that helps us kind of figure out what's broken in release and go fix it possibly.
Mm-hmm. We'll be doing some of that too, so we'll
yes.
see.
Yes, yep, okay. And we'll just jump back over to you then for some demos.
All right, so I'm gonna pick up where I left off earlier. So if you guys remember from the earlier module, we configured, we did some of the configuration settings here. We configured a connection to Team Foundation server. We added a bunch of users. We were looking at groups, right? I know Mike spoke about the release management concepts. We spoke about release path, template, and release, right?
Yep.
So I kind of want to show you or demo you those concepts, really, right? So if you take a look in here, you see that this setting in here, it's in bold. It's a required setting. So this is the setting that I use to define those different stages that I want to deploy to,
right?
So this could be your dev environment, your staging environment. You could have multiple staging environments. You could be deploying to production, so on and so forth. And this is where I would be defining those specific stage types. So let me go ahead and click on stage types. You'll see that it dropped me into the stage type view here. But then this is under manage pick list. So these are what are called pick list, and in release management, so you see that there's a stage type. It tells me exactly what I'm looking at here. This is used to define those different release paths that we were talking about earlier. So let me go ahead and define a bunch of them. So in this case, let's say that I have three stage types that I want my application to go through before it hits prod, or two stage types before it hits prod. So in this case, I'm defining a dev stage type. I'm going to go ahead and define a QA stage type, and go ahead and define a prod stage type, right? So it's really flexible in here. There's not a whole lot of things that you do here. I mean, you just give it a name, and then you're pretty much done at this point.
Okay, so that's all basically just arbitrary names you're creating.
Metadata,
FQA
really,
prod.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and save it. And there's also this concept called a technology type, or technology types. So what this really is just informational values. It's just used to define your servers and environments and specify the technology type that each one is basically running, or it's used to basically categorize those applications.
Okay.
So I can just go ahead and say, you know what, I have a server that's going to be running web stuff.
Yep.
Right? Or a server that's going to be running SQL, so on and so forth. Again, this isn't getting used anywhere, so to speak. It doesn't get used in releases or anything. It's just basically, again, metadata.
So it's an ability to categorize things and organize things, but this would be something that we wouldn't be required to do a release.
Exactly. It's not one of those required steps, right?
Okay, whereas stage types were, you need to use those.
It wasn't bold, if you remember, right?
Okay,
I mean, that's a bold step, right? You have to go in and configure it to get things going here. So let me go back to the configure apps for a second. So we see that check marks start appearing next to stage types and technology types now that I have it defined.
Yep.
Right. So now I want to move into the paths section. You see that it's asking me to add servers and environments. So let's talk about that a minute.
Okay.
So let me go into my servers here. So these are basically the servers where you have your deployment agent installed.
Yep.
So these are really your endpoints, if you will.
Okay. So we installed a deployment agent a while back.
Right.
And that, we talked about, had a heartbeat. It went to the server. It registered itself, in essence, for the mm-hmm. server. You're in the tool now, and you're going to go somehow, I guess, register. Well, you're going to register it there.
Yeah. So you see that there's this option, scan for new.
Okay.
It's basically going to look for servers that have the deployment agent installed, and
okay.
that's trying to talk to this release management server.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
So let's just go ahead and click on scan for new.
Okay.
Right? And there you go, right? This is the server, the same server where we have our release management server installed. We configured the deployment agent a little while ago.
Yep, so this is that deployment agent on the same machine again. So kind of the happy path, it's easily found, it's easily registered, and it's there. It'll come available in a minute. And then we'll show you later, what if I've got an agent or a server in a separate domain and how to get all that working. So we'll look at that later today.
Exactly, you could be having multiple servers even, right? One for each environment.
Sure.
Right.
Yep.
So let's just do a refresh here real quick. We'll come back to it and show this again.
Okay.
The next thing, the, like when you're in the configure paths tab, I mean, you kind of work your way from the right to the left here. So you go from servers to environments to defining your release paths.
Okay.
Right. So we defined our server first.
How intuitive. No, I'm kidding.
So the next thing that I want to do is go into environments. So I want to define those different environments for my stage types.
Okay.
Right.
So environments.
They really contain servers.
They contain servers. So I might have three web servers that sit like in a dev environment, and I could control the servers that should be in dev environment and then not have them in, show up in prod and things like this.
Exactly. So there's some security that will be shown in a second here.
Okay.
So let's just go ahead and click new. So I'm going to define.
And Andrew says, Krithika, you're making me dizzy when you move your mouse in circles. I agree. I about fainted a minute ago, Andrew, so I apologize.
Oh, sorry.
I'm going to be on her at lunch about that.
I'll make sure I don't do that. So let's just go ahead and create an environment for our dev. I'm going to go ahead and I'm logged in as Bob, so I'm going to make Bob the owner. And you see that at the bottom here, you have this link to the servers.
Yep.
I can go ahead and link to my existing server, the server that I just created.
Okay.
So I'm going to click on the link existing. And I'm going to go ahead and link it to the server that I just added.
Okay. I saw that I could have also, I suppose, created a server and linked it all. That's what the create button.
Exactly.
But more often, I'd be linking to something I've probably set up. It
right.
looks like.
Right. And then you also see that there's a supported technology types tab here. We defined supported technology types earlier.
Yep.
So I can go and check them if the server is going to be used as a web server or something, right?
Or both or whatever. Both.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I can go ahead and check them, check
okay.
those values.
Yep.
And we saw how to add those values earlier. And you also see that there's stage type security, right? So for example, if I want to use this environment only for dev purposes, right? I can configure some of that from here. At this point in time, you see there's all stage types. So this environment can be really used by any stage type. You see the can use option here?
Yep.
I can go ahead and limit that by just clicking on the add option and then just selecting the stage type that I want this environment to be tied to.
Got it.
All right, so let's just go ahead and close it. I'm not going to mess with any of that.
Okay. So some of this stuff, it's interesting because it looks to me, so you can set up, this could be a lot more set up in some organizations, some scenarios where they really want to track things better, they want to lock things down better, right? And then in some scenarios where you're just kind of wanting a simple setup, you don't have to do all this. In terms of, I can just have everyone have access that's in here, I don't need to necessarily break out technology types if I don't want to.
Right.
So more or less set up based on your specific scenario, which is nice.
Exactly. So I'm going to go ahead and save and close.
And you notice there was a, I think there was something
again?
I'm going to talk about later today. There was a subtle thing, you don't have to go back, but server tags, which we introduced in
update two.
So I'll come back to that later today as we have time, and we'll give an overview of that.
Let me go ahead and quickly add two more environments here for my other two stage types. Go ahead and call it JSQA. And I'm going to make Bob the owner again. Bob is the lucky guy. So go ahead and link existing, the same drill, save and close, and this would be for my prod. So like I said, in this case, I mean, we're using the same environment for those three different stages. And in essence, you could be using or connecting to different environments even. So let's just go ahead and make Bob the owner again, link existing, same drill. And at this point, we are done, really, defining those environments. Again, environments contain the servers, right?
Okay.
And servers really represent the boxes where you have your deployment agent up and running.
Okay. So in essence, what you've done is, you know, you installed a deployment agent. You eventually find that agent. You bring that in as a server, right? One or more servers. We'd have many in the real world, most likely. And then you compose some environments, lock things down more or less how you need those environments. Maybe it's dev and test only. Maybe it's dev, QA, prod. Maybe there's five more things we do.
Mm-hmm.
And now, so again, it's more configuration work, inching closer to building out some release at some point.
Yeah, defining. We're getting closer to defining the release path itself, right?
Defining the release path or the release pipeline itself. Okay.
Exactly. So the next thing that I want to do is go into the release paths link. So we define those stage types, right? And again, I mean, we're going to be using those stage types in our release paths here.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and click on new. So I'm going to go ahead and call it JS jumpstart release path.
Okay. Jumpstart, right? Yep.
And you see that there's a stages tab in here, so I can start adding those different stages that I created in my stage type view, right? I don't really have to use all of them.
Okay.
So, I mean, I have some flexibility here.
So it could just be dev. Maybe you just bring it in the dev environment.
Exactly.
And that's, you're just building, that's your pipeline to dev. It could be more advanced. Okay.
So let's just go and add those different stages here. And you see that there's a drop down for stage, right? And you see my stages show up. So I'm going to go ahead and link this dev stage. And I have a corresponding environment created for my dev stage already. And that corresponds to my JS dev.
Okay, so
if you're following some naming convention here, it's going to be really intuitive.
Okay, yep, I got it. And JS would really be more likely like your application name or something.
Exactly. In this case, I'm just using the jumpstart. Yeah, and this is really where the workflow kicks in, right? We spoke about the workflow, right? The approval workflow.
Yes.
Right. I can make this automated. I can throw in a user in here to approve my acceptance step, so on and so forth.
Yep. Okay.
So let's just make it real simple right now, because I mean, I'm just defining it right now. We'll be doing more of this later. So I'm just going to go ahead and make Bob the approver for all of these different steps that you see here.
Because you're logged in as Bob, and other than me and you bouncing back and forth with different users, you might as well be Bob for everything.
Exactly. So I can just go in and add him.
But it could be
Bob.
A group. It could be a TFS group and have Bob and 10 other people in it.
You saw this group?
Okay. Yep. Okay.
That shows up there, right? Because that's something that we got from TFS.
So what we're looking at here is a stage that you're setting up a pipeline. Okay, I get that. And you're setting it up to be more or less automated.
Exactly. And I'm defining the approval workflow.
Okay. And if it wasn't automated, for example, the acceptance step wasn't automated, then you would need like Bob to approve it.
Yeah, Bob can use the web client to go in and approve it.
But one thing with the tool itself, even if it is automated, it's going to require that you enter an approver anyway, huh?
Yep.
Okay. So that's a nuance works. There with the tool. Yeah.
Yeah. So I defined my dev stage. Like I said, I mean, I don't have to go in and define my other stages. I mean, my release path could very well just contain the dev stage if I wanted it that way. But I'm going to go ahead and define those other stages too. So let me go ahead and define my QA stage.
Okay.
So from dev, it's going to go to QA, right? And then I have an environment created for my QA stage. So I'm going to use that. And I'm going to make this automated as well. Go ahead and make Bob the brewer.
But it certainly could be like a QA team or some other group that we brought in from TFS, right?
Yeah, and also you see that I can add multiple approvers.
So if I could have a bunch of more people involved in the process if needed.
Exactly.
Okay. And then I notice a little mail icon on each of those. I don't know if we talked about that yet.
Not yet. So you can enable approver notification. If you have SMTP configured,
okay.
This is really where the email notifications really come into play.
Right. So I can have emails kind of driving the workflow, enable the email chain, and everybody's using email. So I'm looking for Yammer integration, please. Selfless plug, you know.
So let's just go ahead and define a prod. Do the same thing here.
Okay.
For now, I'm just going to automate it. We'll be showing different scenarios later on, but we'll just make this easy here.
So this is like the super automatic pilot.
Autopilot,
like
yeah.
Automated is good.
So I'm done defining those different stages.
Okay.
What I want to show here is the security, right? So there's security available at the release path level. We looked at security at the stage type level, at the environments level. So there's security really available everywhere. So what I want to show is the security option that's available here. and you see everyone, I mean, you really have to go in and fix this group, right? Because you don't want everybody accessing everything, right? So you see everyone has access to view, edit, manage security for this release path. I'm sorry, I did the mouse thing again. I'll make sure I don't do that. I can go ahead and add a user or a group from right here.
I see.
And lock security down from my release path.
Okay. So if you need to at the path level, I can control who has access to it.
Exactly.
We had a question from Ruben online here. It says, when you say multiple approver, does it mean all have to approve it or one of them can approve? So we can kind of control that, Ruben. We can basically, you can have at each stage, you could have each step, you could have a group of people where any of them, if any of them approve at that point, the deployment will happen, right? So just one person, doesn't require multiple people. However, as we'll see later, if you want some manual intervention on any of the steps, you could have that also there. And then you could add additional people to sign off at the bottom, as many as you want,
right,
one or more. So you have some flexibility there. This is something still evolving as well on some best practices around some of the workflows and how many people should intervene. By the way, when I get an approval sent to me, I also have some pretty interesting things I can do. I can reassign that to somebody else as well if I'm in charge of that stage.
Yeah, I can approve it, reject it, or reassign it.
Right, I might reassign it to, like, you know, somebody else. I'm getting ready to head out the door. I reassign it to somebody else. So we'll look at some of that in more detail coming up.
Right. So you see that now I have the stages defined. Again, think about it as your horizontal pipeline, right? Those different stages that you have in play before you deploy your application to production. So let's just go ahead and close this, right? So we're done here. So let me go back into my configure apps again, right?
Okay.
Yeah, so configure apps, you see my, we don't have any release templates created just yet.
That's
which
right.
is what I'm gonna be doing next.
Yep.
So. The one other thing that I want to point out here is you don't see the checklist anymore. Remember the checklist that we saw earlier?
Yeah, it disappeared, right?
It disappeared, right? Because, I mean, we basically configured all the prerequisites needed to get a release going.
So what, it just goes away and never comes back?
It's only going to come back if there's a prerequisite that you missed, right?
Okay.
So hopefully that doesn't happen.
All right.
I think we got them all.
For better or for worse, it's gone.
Right. So the next thing that I want to do is create the release template. Again, release template is really the blueprint or the workflow for your release. Right, so if I click on the new option here, it's going to take me to the release template properties. So I can go ahead and just specify a release template name. So I'm just going to go ahead and use JS again. I know Mike doesn't like my name, but I'm going to roll with it. Select the release path. We just defined the release path.
Okay.
Again, having some sort of naming convention really helps. I mean, it could really be your app name or something.
Right, because if you had like a laundry list inside that dropdown right
it
there, then
really,
that's not
yeah,
going to be
exactly.
so easy to find.
Exactly, so it could get really difficult. So so I'm going to go ahead and select my JS release path.
Okay.
I have those stages defined in there. And this is really where the integration, again, we spoke about integrating with Team Foundation a lot, Team
yeah.
Foundation Server a lot, right? So this is really where the integration kicks in again.
The build definition. So you can specify, now you're at the release template, remember that. She's building a blueprint. Now you're going to use all those artifacts you just created, like your stages, like your pipeline. You just picked your pipeline when your release path.
Right.
And then also you can choose whether or not you're going to let build system trigger a build, which we'll look at later. Meaning I could, in theory, for continuous delivery, check in code someplace, have it kick off a build on a CI build, and then have that build trigger a release and release management. And so, you know, I checked in and I deployed.
Exactly. I don't have to even be in this tool to kick off a release.
You do not have to be in the tool at all to kick off the release. And whatever that deployment pipeline looks like and whatever your templates look like, that's what will happen. But I can trigger it from build. But I don't have to, but I can still, I'm going to use the build outputs.
Right.
Even if I'm not going to trigger from build, I can use the build outputs
by selecting the build definition.
To do my releases by selecting the build definitions with that edit button, right?
You got it. So we'll be showing it. So we'll come back and take a look at Team Foundation build later. But then for now, let's just go ahead and select the build definition that this release template is going to be using.
So you're enabling it for later that it's going to make it possible.
Yeah, for a demo that's going to be coming
okay.
right, in the next module. So let's just go ahead and select the build definition. So I'm going to click on the edit option. When I do that, it's going to open up my team project dropdown. So I can go ahead and select my team project, the team project that has the build definition, right?
Yep.
So let's just go ahead and click on the Socialite team project. That's the only team project that I have available even. And let me go ahead and select my social apps build definition. That's working, right?
Okay, so, well, I built it, right? I don't know if it's working. So social apps build definition, in theory, is a build that's already running. It will work, and it's creating outputs for us. It's just the name of a build def. We'll come back and look at it later. I think you can rely on maybe.
Yeah, we'll be doing that later anyway. So, yeah.
Okay.
So let's just go ahead and say OK here. Again, there's security. I mean, we looked at security at the release path level. Now we're looking at security at the release template level, right?
Okay.
So there's security that can be configured at different levels in release management.
Yeah, I like that one. So that can release. Because, okay, when you're defining the template, which is really the brains behind the release itself, and what's going to happen as part of the release, more or less, and what stages, where it's going to go, what pipeline, what release path. And then you have a permission that says can release there. Right now, everyone can use this, and you might not want that, right? You might only want this is the pathway to production. I'm going to lock that down in most cases and not let everyone release. Might let everybody view it that's in the tool, but not release. So that's, again, based on your specific scenario.
Yeah, which makes it all the more important to lock this thing down, right?
Yep. Okay.
To make changes to it and not let it sit the way it is right now. So let's just go ahead and create it.
So right now, because we're using one user, and we're kind of like what my dad used to tell me in terms of like drinking beer, do as I say, not as I do, as he drank it, right? You know, kind of thing. So, yeah.
So let's just go ahead and create it.
You're not creating all the security in the world just for demo purposes.
Right.
Okay.
Makes it a little easier.
Yep.
So you see that it dropped me into the actual
template. Why are all my analogies around beer?
I don't know.
I'm really, okay.
All right, so you see that it dropped me into the workflow itself?
Yes.
And this is the stuff that I was talking about earlier, right? I mean, I kind of wanted to I'm not sure what I did.
Window start.
Sorry.
Start button's back.
I was trying to zoom, really.
Okay.
So you see that you have these different tools available. You see that there's a tool available for IIS stuff, IIS-related actions, which we'll be taking a look at when I expand this. And there's a tool available for SQL stuff, Windows services.
Okay.
And this is what I was talking about earlier. You can also plug in your custom tools and actions, if you want. You can build that category to hold those actions and tools.
So a lot of this stuff is out of the box for you. You don't have to invent like things like maybe modify registry key. It's already there. You'll be looking for it in the toolbox.
Exactly.
Okay.
So let's just go ahead and take a look at one of them. Again, I'm not really going to be building the whole thing here. I'm just showing you. I just kind of want to talk about the concepts that you looked at in the slide deck, right? So I'm not really going to be building the workflow itself right now. But what I want to do is I want to just quickly show the different actions available for each one of these tools.
Okay.
Right. So you see that under IIS, I have configure app pool. I can also even create app pool. I don't really have to do all of that work in IIS manager, right? I can have my release template do all the work for me.
Okay, so I think this is important. So, and again, it's going to be scenario-driven. If, for example, I have an internal web application, like many of you probably have, where you've already got IIS configured kind of how you want it to, and it's more like not necessarily kind of bare metal type deployments. Instead, it's more like I'm just deploying the deltas, the changes that happened in my code base, possibly some SQL changes as well. Existing virtual directories are there. Existing app pool settings and all that are there. In fact, we're going to leave those alone. Then you can just have Xcopy deploy over and over, and you don't have to use some of this stuff. However, if you are doing some bare metal buildups from a blank IIS slate, if you will, and I need to create and configure application pools, I want to set up virtual directories, and I not only copy the bits there, but set up all that kind of infrastructure around that, you can also define that as part of your template. So again, based on your scenario, you'll do more or less of that. We'll do a little of both, I think, today
after
lunch, right?
Yep. So just quickly want to take a look at the SQL actions. You have some actions available to back up your SQL database, to create it, drop it, restore it, so on and so forth.
Drop it. That sounds fun.
You don't want to drop a database.
Okay.
And then the same thing applies to Windows service as well. I mean, it lets you create a new service, delete a service, restart a service, so on and so forth.
Okay, so some of these actions, like from MS SQL, like backup SQL database, what I might do is I may back up my database right before I deploy, just obviously as a huge safety measure. I could put that as part of my template workflow here. We'll eventually look, this afternoon we're going to start doing some deployments on various recipes, if you will. And one of the things we'll look at is how SQL Server Data Tool does. We'll have a DACPAC deployer here, and we'll talk about that in a little bit of depth. These are just a set of things that are really common in the toolbox. And again, we do have the ability to create custom components custom tools, custom actions. Yep. At the end of the day, your PowerShell skills will eventually serve you well here as well, because you can go to lowest common, you know, get down to PowerShell stuff, yeah, build some custom whatever you need to have happen, and have that happen as part of your workflow.
Yeah, we have other options available too, right? I mean, it could be a batch file, executable, and again, PowerShell.
Okay, perfect.
Right, so just a quick recap. I mean, you see those different stages show up here up top, right? And I can change the properties of this template by just clicking on the properties link. So you see there's a properties link, right? If I want to define security or do something else, I can go ahead and just click on it and make changes.
Get you back into your dialogue.
Exactly. It will be defining the workflow when we get to our deployment recipes module, right? But I just want to show a few other things here in the UI. So let me close out of this again. And you see that once we have this workflow defined, you'll see that I can also trigger a new release from right here. Again, release template is the blueprint, right? And release is the act of deploying stuff. So release is really the transaction, if you will. So I can trigger a release from just being here, making changes to the template itself and kicking off a release from here.
Yeah, so and it looks like you can deactivate it too if you don't want people running releases from it. And you know, triggering a new release from the GUI here, again, it's one option and we could keep that in mind. But we'll use build system and in other ways, command line we saw in the blog post there, other ways to trigger releases eventually.
Sure. All right, so is there anything else that you want to...
Click that server visibility down there. A couple more things I want to point out. Notice that you can display all servers. So she created those servers earlier. And right now, we just have the one server, right? And again, that's where the deployer is installed.
Exactly.
But you might want to bring more servers involved in this particular workflow, this template. You can get that there. If you back out again real quick with your Zoomit, you notice that there's a components tab at the top left as well. I'll have you click.
Up here.
Yep. And then this is where a component designer, where you can create some components. If you quickly just click new, I just want to talk about what a component is. We'll get into this just like you said as we get into the recipes. But this is where we're going to kind of define what it means to deploy our application. And I want everybody to keep in mind, this is where it can get really flexible for you, because where am I going to get the stuff is one thing that we're defining in the component here. And then what am I going to actually do in terms of the payload? I get it from the drop location, but then what does deployment mean for me? You know, what is it? What am I going to execute? What configuration variables are going to be there that need? And we'll see that you can use various tools again, and there you go. So we can do everything from the simple X copy to we've got reporting services deployer. If I happen to be running reporting services reports,
there's MTM automated test manager.
Yep, running MTM test, DACPack database. There's two things I want to point out with database there. So a couple things I want to point out here. In fact, if you can just stay there for a minute.
Oh, sure. Sorry.
That's okay. DACPack database deployer. We'll look at that this afternoon, or we'll attempt to, and show you. There's a couple nuances as you set that up. But then there's also a database deployer. Maybe you don't use DACPack yet, but you have database scripts. I really hope that you're not one of those that are keeping track of all the Delta scripts through time and all of that.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, but if you need to execute, just execute plain old script. Maybe it's to populate data or whatever you're doing. That's available as well. There's a couple interesting things I want to talk about quickly as we wrap up here before our break, our meal break. We're going to be taking a meal break here, and then we're going to return in about an hour after we do, by the way. And then we're going to get into creating some and executing some deployments. But you see the Azure VM Manager, Krithika, would you mind... That's okay.
Keep doing it.
It keeps going away. There's something that we're doing. So we have the ability to do things like start and stop Azure VMs. We have some limited capabilities for provisioning.
Yeah, and there's more coming, right?
Yeah, more and more integration. So just like we talked about, there'll be more and more integration coming. You just expect it to happen with Visual Studio Online and things we're doing out in Azure. There's so much exciting stuff. I can tell you, I'm genuinely excited about Azure because just working with it and things like Azure websites, Azure infrastructure as a service. But one of the things that we're doing with the tool, release management tool, that you expect it will continue to invest in is, you know, right now, if you look at a lot of this stuff, expects the environments to kind of be there and the servers be available and be running.
Right.
Right. They're already there up and I'm deploying into those. One of the things that we're going to do better with is the provisioning process, right? So if you have questions about What about standing stuff up from scratch? What about spinning the entire metal up from scratch? This kind of thing. Will you expect a lot more stuff like that coming? Integration with lab management, which we do.
I was going to bring that up, yeah.
We do some of that today in terms of, you know, lab management, doing some of that provisioning work for us. System center, a lot of this stuff is evolving now, and we're going to have more and more guidance, more and more integration points with those exciting tools and technologies as well. So the whole, I guess to summarize all of that, the whole provisioning side of the story is going to be really, really hot, and that's going to make the tool, you know, a much more robust story in general. But right now, kind of expect some stuff to be up and operational for the most part here. So, okay. So I guess, is this a pretty good place to summarize and stop?
Yep.
So right now, I guess I just want to give a quick summary of where we're at. So you set up a lot of stuff for us here. We talked about DevOps. We've set up the tool from scratch in terms of a fresh install. We got the three components working. Again, server, client, agent. There's a lot of work, as we see, to do in the client to set up your connection to TFS, a few nuances along the way. And now we're at the point where we're building out our release template, or beginning to build out our release template, take advantage of that pipeline that we set up. And we're going to get into this afternoon several things. We're going to deploy some IIS stuff. We're going to deploy some SQL stuff via DACPack. We'll show you some stuff with the build system, how to get that. There's a few steps, right, where you got to get that build system off the ground.
Yep,
you'll
the
demo
the release templates and stuff like that.
There's release templates to plug in, and if you're using custom build process, there's some gotchas there. And then eventually we'll wrap up the day getting into some more advanced stuff where we end up having to firefight a little bit of where two machines aren't in the same domain, that kind of stuff with ghost accounts. And then we'll have a lot of fun all along the way. So I really appreciate everybody's time. Let's take a good lunch break, and I'll see you guys back here in about an hour or so.